Well, praise the Lord. It's been a joy to hear the testimonies tonight, and it's been a joy to be here this weekend. And I told Preacher earlier, I said, every time I come to this church, I leave revived. I really do. I appreciate you folks. I appreciate your love for the Lord and your love for missions. I appreciate and love your pastor, and I thank God for the staff here and all that's going on here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And let me say this, I am honored and humbled with the vote tonight to support my wife and I in our ministry. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and we'll do our level best with the Lord's help to carry out the ministry that He's given us. And you know, I enjoy good health at this time. I don't have any serious problems. Now, that could all change tomorrow at my age, amen? But I told Dr. Snyder recently, I said, I'd like to make it at least to 25 years with Baptist International Missions to get my 25-year pin, amen? So I'm working towards that, Preacher. I hope the Lord will allow me to do that. But thank you, folks, for your kindness. You know, really, through the testimonies tonight, I really feel the Lord has already preached a message. But I want you to take your Bibles tonight just to turn to Acts chapter 16 for a moment, and we're going to read a few verses here. This is Paul's second missionary journey, okay? Missionary journey number one has been completed. People have been saved. Folks have been baptized. Churches have been started. And now in this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 16 here, Paul and his church planting team, so to speak, are on their second missionary journey. And we'll pick up reading in verse number 6. And this is, of course, where Paul receives that vision of the man over in Macedonia crying out for help. And let's read it together. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And by the way, I believe this was a passionate cry. I really don't believe it was just a casual type of thing. I believe he was crying out for help. And can I tell you, missions is all about going to help. It's all about involvement, isn't it? It's all about being involved. Well, Paul sees this vision, and I like this next word. And after he had seen the vision, I like this next word. Immediately, we endeavored to go into Macedonia. I do believe when God places the call of God upon a man's heart concerning missions or concerning a people group or concerning reaching the lost, you know, it's important that we move along and we do what God has called us to do. Amen? I believe it's important that we have an immediacy about us. And in other words, we understand that, you know, it's not something that we'll put off. It's not something that we'll pray about. We'll go ahead and do what God is calling us to do. Well, immediately they endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas. I like that phrase. You know, if we're ever going to serve God properly, we're going to have to loose from some things. We're going to have to leave some things behind. Sometimes, for a missionary to really do what God is calling him to do, he's going to have to leave some material possessions behind. Sometimes he leaves family and friends behind. And that's not always an easy thing to do, not only for the missionary, but also for the family that he leaves behind. But therefore, loosing from Troas, the Bible says, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia. Lydia was a Gentile woman, And she worshiped all types of gods. But when she heard the truth of the Word of God preached by the Apostle Paul, you know, she turned her back on those false gods and she turned towards the true and living God. And she was a businesswoman, as the scripture says here, a seller of purple in the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. The reason I chose this passage tonight, and I only want to give you just a couple of thoughts tonight to conclude the service, but the reason I chose this passage was because of the vision that Paul received here over in Troas concerning this man in Macedonia. And I'd like to just encourage you tonight as we close out the weekend to continue to keep that vision before you. Keep the vision of a lost, dying world before you. As a church tonight, I'm so glad to hear that you're planning more missions trips. And I was moved tonight by the testimonies that I heard. And you know, so oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's so good to be faithful in the local church and serve in the local church. And I am all about the local church tonight, and BIMI is all about the local church. And I think it's important, though, from time to time to rekindle our vision by going on these trips and seeing what's going on in different areas of the country and different areas of the world. And, the Bible's true. I mean, the Bible says, you know, our eye affecteth our heart. And so tonight, I just want to share a thought with you as we close out the weekend. I am so thankful for the opportunities that God has given my wife and I with Baptist International Missions. I have met so many great pastors over the years and been in so many wonderful churches that have a heart for the lost. And I've had a chance to work alongside just a wonderful group of missionaries over the years. But before I came on board with BIMI, I had the great opportunity of starting and restarting several churches. And I know Pastor will understand this tonight as I say this, but one of the things that always concerned me as a pastor was this. It was not that we would fail periodically, because in ministry there are times where you do have setbacks, and there are times maybe where things don't always go as planned. And there's times where, you know, you prayed and you tried to get the direction from the Lord. But, failures aren't necessarily a bad thing, because we learn from failure. That's how we learn. And many times, even in ministry, when maybe things don't go the way they should, we avoid those mistakes the next time. So my fear when I pastored was not that we would fail, but that we would succeed at that which made very little difference. Now think about that, what I just said. My fear was not that we would fail. My concern was that we would do things that made very little difference. So what I tried to do as a pastor when I was pastoring, I tried as best I could to continually cast the vision before our people. Why has God allowed us to get to this point in ministry? Many times I would stand and I would say, you know, we ought to just stop and just ask ourselves, why has God allowed us to start a church in this community? Or why has God allowed us to restart this church when it was almost closed? And he's blessed, and he's brought people in, and he's allowed us now to minister to this community and to support missionaries and so forth. And I would ask our people, I would say, you know, why is it that God has allowed that? And the obvious question was, God has allowed the local church to be raised up to reach what? The world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I would try to cast that vision before our folks, and I would try and bring Bible passages before them and preach on things like Matthew chapter 6 verses 19 through 21, where the Bible talks about laying up our treasures in heaven. You know, isn't it a great thing to think about? If we're laying up all our treasure here on earth, if we're just constantly working to accumulate treasure here on earth, do you realize every day you live, you're getting further and further and further away from that treasure? But ladies and gentlemen, as you get involved in the local church ministries, and as you begin to give, and as you begin to sacrificially give, and realize, oh man, it's a joy to be able to give. You know what? You're investing in the bank of heaven, and every day you live, every day of your life, you're getting closer and closer and closer to your treasure. And I tried to do my best to kindle and rekindle that vision of why has God allowed us to get to this point. It's been a joy to hear tonight about the many, many blessings that God has bestowed upon this ministry. And I'm just absolutely amazed at what he's doing here. And I'm looking forward, if the Lord tarries, I'm looking forward to seeing God do some incredible things through the ministry of this local church. And I believe without a doubt there will be people called to the mission field out of fellowship in the future. There'll be pastors that'll come out of this church to go and plant churches, and men to take churches and maybe restart them, and that'll be a great thing. I want to leave you tonight with a thought. Actually, it's a poem. It goes something like this. I need a truer vision, Lord, a vision filled with thee, to see the needy world again with eyes that are willing to see. A world where people are hurting and hungry every day. A world that's ready and waiting to hear what you would say. I need a wider vision, Lord, a vision filled with thee, to see that lonely woman who is down the street from me. The teenager who is all mixed up, the child who's been abused. The day-to-day cares in my neighborhood, Lord. I just want to be used. So give me a new vision, Lord, a vision filled with thee, to see the needs in this old world just as your eyes would see. Don't let your biggest fear, Fellowship Baptist Church, be that you'll fail once in a while. Let your biggest fear be that you would succeed at that which makes very little difference. Father, tonight as we've gathered here, been challenged by the testimonies of this trip to New York City, I pray tonight, Lord, that you take these simple thoughts, and Lord, I pray that you would continue to help this church, this ministry, under the direction and leadership of Brother Freeman and the staff here. Lord, would you help them to continue to maintain this vision that they have to reach a lost and dying world. Lord, rekindle that vision again and again, if you will, in the hearts of your people. Give them opportunities. Give them opportunities, Lord, in their neighborhoods, in their communities, in this part of Virginia. Give them opportunities to be supporting and praying and helping those that are out here in different parts of America and around the world. God, I thank you for the time that we've had together tonight. May we be open to your leadership and your direction. For we pray in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.